chapter 17.
This morning, amen, I want to share with you this message that I entitle An Unlikely Victory. An Unlikely Victory. And we're going to be looking at the history behind Cinco de Mayo, but also, amen, I want to tie it into our faith. Amen, our faith here this morning. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the story of David and Goliath. Amen. David and Goliath. And if there is ever an unlikely victory, it has to be the story of David and Goliath. Amen. And many of us are very familiar with this story because if you went to church when you were young, amen, you heard this over and over in the children's ministry. Amen. It's one of the kids' favorite chapters, one of the kids' favorite stories within the Bible. And, you know, every time I read and I share one of the stories from the Bible, I always get excited because it's not just like another children's story. Amen. You know, there's a lot of children's stories out there, but those are fiction. A lot of those are fiction. But when you read stories that are in the Bible, and you see the marvelous things that God did, the awesome things that God did, man, you understand that it really took place. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it really took place. And you know, I know today we have so many things that the youth like to go out and see, not only the youth, but even some adults. Come on, somebody, amen. Like the Avenger movies, and I know now right now that one Avenger movie just came out, amen, and I'm pretty sure you've probably seen it, amen. I know I went to go see it, amen. You know, they dissed my Jesus there for a little bit, so I didn't really like that too much, amen. But, you know, those movies come out, and you know, our kids look to that, and they say, man, those are superheroes. You know, they got superpowers, right? But when you look at the story of David and Goliath, I mean, talk about a real Avenger. Come on, somebody, amen. How many know the number one Avenger for us Christians is Jesus Christ, amen? And but you see David, and as we read, we're going to read such a remarkable victory that shouldn't have been a victory. It shouldn't have been a victory. And this is why I titled this message An Unlikely Victory. Amen. So follow me along as I read the scriptures. We're going to be doing a little bit of reading here this morning in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you're there, give me a strong amen. Okay, that's just like 25% of you. Just this side. All right. Amen. If you're there, give me a strong amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Verse 20, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. Now, before I go any longer, let me set the stage here a little bit. David's dad sent his son to go take some food to his brothers that were out in the battlefield. So that's where we pick it up here. Verse 21. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brother how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." Verse 28, verse 26, David asks the men standing near him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Now, verse 29, I like the way the King James Version says it. And it says it like this in verse 29. David says, "Is there not a cause? What have I done? Is there not a cause? He tells his brother and everybody that's listening. Verse 30, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And when the men answered him as before, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. King Saul sent for him. David said to King Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistines moved closer to attack, as the Philistine giant grew closer to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the Philistine's own sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sherem road of Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tents. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistines, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him to Saul. Then David, still holding the Philistine's head, "Whose son are you, young man?" King Saul asked. David said, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem." When we look at this story, we see a story that was an unlikely victory. David the little young man David, there's no way that he stood a chance against Goliath. But how many know when you have the Lord on your side? I don't care what giant you're facing. I don't care how big the mountain is. That giant will fall and that mountain will be removed when you understand one thing, that it is not by sword, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And you may be here this morning and you're facing a giant. Listen, I'm here to tell you that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Yeah. Now, tying this in to Cinco de Mayo, I want to give you a little bit of history about this Cinco de Mayo that the Hispanic people celebrate, more like the Chicanos. Cinco de Mayo is an annual celebration held on May 5th, if you didn't know. The date is observed to commemorate the Mexican Army's difficult victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla. This battle was fought on May 5th, 1862, under the leadership of General Ignacio Zaragoza and President Benito Juárez of Mexico. In late 1861, a well-formed French army fleet stormed the city of Veracruz in Mexico. They landed a large French force on the beachhead. And they begin to drive the President Juarez and his army, they begin to drive them back into retreat. So as they retreated, the Mexican army from Veracruz, they started to get closer to Mexico City. Then the French army began to encounter a heavy resistance from the Mexicans close to Puebla. At the Mexican forts of Laredo and Guadalupe, the French army of 8,000 soldiers attacked the poorly equipped Mexican army of only 4,000 soldiers. But on May 5th, 1862, the Mexicans decisively defeated the French army. This victory represented a significant moral boost to the Mexican army and to the Mexican people at large around the country. And it helped establish a sense of national and unity and patriotism. In this battle, Mexico lost 87 soldiers that were killed. 131 were wounded and 12 went missing. But the French army lost 476 that were killed, 304 that were wounded, and 35 that were captured by the Mexican army. Now, this here was not supposed to be a victory for Mexico. This here was an unlikely victory. Now, what does this have to do with us? And what can we learn from this historic battle? What inspiration can we get out of this history lesson? First of all, let me just say that the reason I love to incorporate or involve history in my sermons is because I believe that history is simply His story. And when I talk about His story, I'm talking about God. Amen. See, God's story of this earth and of this world, that's what history is. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, it's still God's story. And the reason it's God's story is because He is the one that is all in control. He is sovereign. I said it on Friday that the beautiful thing about God is that God is sovereign and He is all in control, but yet He's not controlling. God doesn't make us serve Him. God doesn't make us. There will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But for right now, we as Christians got to be willing to bow down and willing to confess. But see, right now, God doesn't make anybody serve Him. He doesn't make nobody come to church. You weren't forced here to come here this morning. Come on, somebody. You came here this morning on your own free will because you wanted to hear a word from God, because you wanted to worship God, because you wanted to praise God, because you wanted to give to God, because you want to serve God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what does this have to do with us? What does it have to do with us? More specifically as Americans, what does this Cinco de Mayo Battle of Puebla have to do with us? Now, some historians say that if Mexico wouldn't have stopped them early on, stopped the French army early on with this bit of resistance, then the French army would have went to the aid of the Confederate States in the Civil War, thus dramatically changing the destiny of the United States. What a different country America would be today if the Confederates in the South would have won the Civil War. See, historians say they strongly believe that if it wasn't for Mexico's first, at first it seemed to be victory at first because they won that victory in Puebla, they eventually lost the battle, but the French were so stunned by the resistance of the Mexican army that they were like, I can't believe that they defeated us. The French's whole plan was to develop a beachhead in Mexico to eventually come into the United States and help the Confederates because they were for slavery. But because of that victory on Cinco de Mayo,
come on.
Now let me clear something up. Cinco de Mayo is not the Mexican Independence Day.
Amen.
September 16 is.
Yes.
I know sometimes we get that confused. But this was a strategic victory that was given to the Mexican army to boost their morale, but I believe also it changed the course of history even for us here in the United States. So, what inspiration can we get from this historic battle? The inspiration that we can get from this historic battle, and not only from this battle, but even from the battle of David and Goliath, is this, is that it doesn't matter the size of the dog in the fight. But the size of the fight in the dog. I like to say it like this in Spanish. And I term this for our church. Somos chiquitos. Pero picosos. Let me translate that for you. We may be small, but we're hot. Come on, somebody. I mean, we may be just a few here in our church. There's not that many of us. We're not a mega church. We're not a big church. Oh, but we're a church that knows how to make some noise in the city. We're a church that knows how to roll up the sleeves of our hands and put our hands to the plow. We're a church that knows how to go to the streets and evangelize, that has a heart for the prisons and go into the prison ministry. We're a church that's not afraid to go into the roughest neighborhoods of the Metroplex and preach the gospel. We go where nobody else wants to go. Why? Because a lot of times that's where we came from. And listen, we were taught that we don't forget where we came from. We go back and reach the treasures out of darkness. Those that are still lost and bound and bound in sin and sickness. God has called us to be a church that is courageous.
Amen.
Right.
So the inspiration is that it doesn't matter about the size of the dog. It matters about the size of the fight in the dog. I've seen some crazy chihuahuas. Hello, somebody. Some of us, listen, we need to act like that chihuahua. Come on, somebody. It don't matter how big that giant is. You just go a barking. Hello, somebody. You just go a snapping. I've seen big men run from a chihuahua. And that ain't no joke. Come on, somebody. I would share the story, but they would get mad at me if I shared it. Come on, somebody. I've seen grown men run from some chihuahuas because this doesn't matter the size of the dog, but the size of the fight. How much fight is in you here this morning? Do you have the will to fight? Do you have inside of you the will to fight? No matter what the devil throws your way, no matter if he throws unemployment your way, no matter if he throws sickness your way, disease your way, no matter if he throws relationship problems your way, do you have some fight in you to stand against the walls of the enemy and say, devil, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how loud your roar. I'm still gonna fight. I'm still gonna face my giant because I know the God that I serve is able to deliver me like he delivered young David from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion and the sword of Goliath. He will deliver me from anything that the enemy tries to throw my way. Somebody shout amen. Now let's look at the battle here of David. Let's look at this battle that David fought. This was an unlikely victory because of three reasons I want to give you. Three reasons why this was an unlikely victory to David. The first reason is because His own family didn't even believe in him. Let me talk to this side.
Oh, come on now.
Come on.
His own family didn't believe in
him. My mind.
His own people. His kinfolk. His familia. They didn't believe in him. And the reason why they didn't believe, you know why our families sometimes don't believe in us? It's because of another F word. Not that one. I don't know what you're thinking.
Come on.
Familiarity. Or familiar. His own family didn't even believe in him because they were so familiar with him. It's just like you. If anybody knows you, it's your family.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can hide who you are from pastor.
Oh, yeah.
You can hide who you are from sister so-and-so and your boss. Come on now. You can go to work and put on a face. Come on now. Huh? Put on a nice suit. Put on a nice dress. Smell good. Come on now. Smile. You can do all of that stuff. And the people at your job may not really know who you really are. And so because they don't know who you really are, they give you the benefit of the doubts. Oh, but family. Come on, somebody. Family, just like you're just Pancho to them. Come on, somebody, right? You're just the mocosa to them. Come on, somebody. You're just the little whippersnapper to them. Our family, you know why our family, they're so familiar with us, they know our weaknesses. They know our mistakes. They know our past. Oh, but you're going to Victory Outreach now. Oh, you're a Christian now. Oh, I see you Sunday morning wearing a suit and a dress. But I know who you really are. Oh, come on, somebody. They see you on Sunday morning. But I see you on Monday morning. Come on, somebody. I see you on Saturday night. Come on, somebody. They know your past. They know your failures. They know your mistakes. And sometimes because family is so familiar with us, they don't believe in us. They don't believe that we're serving God. They don't believe that our heart's right. They don't believe that our heart is right in serving God. Just like David's brother. What did David's brother tell him? I know your heart. I know your wicked heart, he tells him. Wow. You just came in here just to be nosy.
Right.
Oh, come on, somebody. You're just going to church just to look for a guy.
Oh,
well. Oh, shucky ducky. You're just going to church just to look for a girl. Huh? You, I know your heart. You got a wicked. What are you really up to? Give them 3 months. They'll be back. Give them 6 months. They'll be back in the club.
Huh?
They'll be back to their old ways. Huh? Can help me this morning. Am I hitting a nerve here this morning? Huh? Sometimes it's our own family that doesn't believe us or don't believe in us. Huh? Now that can change in time. Come on, somebody. That can change in time, but it's up to you. Because your family, they may be your number one haters right now. But if you prove in time that you're the real deal Holyfield, then they can be your number one participators later on. Somebody say amen. And I say participators because they'll start to fight in the battle with you.
Hello.
It's like Jesus. Remember Jesus? Jesus' family, his brothers and sisters, they didn't believe in him at the beginning. At the beginning, they didn't believe in him. They say, man, he's just the carpenter's son. He's just Jesus. He's just Chewy. You know? He's just Chewy. Huh? But then after a while, when they seen Jesus be faithful to God and do the miracles he did, then all of a sudden they started to believe in him. So your family will eventually come around. And I believe that David's brothers eventually came around. But right now, during the time of the battle, it was his own family that even didn't believe in him. So, you know, when you go into a battle, when you go into a fight, it's always good to have somebody in your corner.
That's right.
It's always good to have some encouragement in your corner. Oh, but can you go into a fight when there's no encouragement in your corner? Huh? There's some battles that you're going to have to face by yourself. There's some things, there's some probably sickness, there's some things that are going to come at you that this and this is going to seem like you're going to be by yourself. Ain't nobody going to be believing you. Your family may not believe it. They're probably going to write you off, my friend. Oh, but listen, this is where your faith in God has to be strong and say, it doesn't matter that nobody's in my corner. My mom may not be in my corner. My dad may not be in my corner. My brothers and sisters may not be in my corner. But as long as I got King Jesus, as long as the Holy Spirit, my stitch up man is in my corner, as long as Abba Father is with me, if he is with me, then who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper, my friend. The second thing is that his own leader said he couldn't do it. King Saul, he went up to King Saul. What did King Saul tell him? You're just a little whippersnapper. You're just a young boy. You're just a young kid. And this giant has been a warrior since his youth. And his own leader, because he didn't see the potential in David. Huh? He didn't see the potential in this young kid. Sometimes you got to look at the potential in people. Victory Outreach is a ministry, listen, that we see the potential. We see the diamond in the rough. This is why we call them treasures out of darkness. Isaiah 45 verse 2 and 3. Listen, we see treasures. This is why we can go into the neighborhood, into the barrio, and into the projects, and to the places where nobody else wants to go. And we go there to evangelize. Other churches, they might go to the suburbs. Oh, but we stick to the inner city. And people may say, and they look at us crazy, anything good come out of the inner city? Man, there's a bunch of drug dealers in the inner city. There's prostitution in the inner city. There's violence and crime in the inner city. There's a bunch of sin in the inner city. Oh, but listen, my Bible tells me where sin abounds, the grace of God even abounds even more. And listen, the more they sin, hello somebody, the far away they are from God, the more God wants them.
Right.
He who sinneth much loveth much. And his own leader here, he didn't see the potential inside of David. King Saul told David, you don't have the experience. You're still wet behind the ear, and you're trying to go up against an experienced champion. This is a reason why it was an unlikely victory. Even the leader, even King Saul said, listen, I've seen a lot of battles. I've been in a lot of battlefields. I've seen a lot of fights. And as I look at him and I look at you, there's no way that this is going to end out in a good way for you, David. So listen, you got an opportunity right now to back down. Nobody's forcing you. Oh, but listen, David did not back down because he didn't care if he didn't have the experience or have his family in his corner or even if his king didn't believe in him. He said, it don't matter. I'm still going to face this giant. You know, when Pastor Sonny started Victory Outreach International or Victory Outreach, you know, many pastors, you know what they would tell him? He would share with pastors the vision of our ministry, Victory Outreach. At the beginning in 1967, when the ministry was flourishing and barely starting. And God had given him a vision, and he gave him the verse, Isaiah 45 verse 2 and 3, and it says, I will give you the treasures out of darkness. Meaning, the interpretation of that was that the people in the neighborhoods, in the ghetto and the barrio, the gang members, the drug addicts, the drug dealers, those people, they were in darkness. But God says, I'm going to give them to you and I'm going to make them treasures.
Right.
And when he would share his vision with other pastors and other church leaders, they would look at him crazy. And you know what they would tell him? A true story. They would tell him, you cannot build a church or a ministry with those type of people.
Wow.
Those type of people, they're far away from God. Huh? Those type of people, they will not give. Instead of giving, they're going to steal the offering. Instead of putting something in the bucket, they're going to take something out the bucket.
Wow.
Huh? Those type of people, you can't get them to be committed. Wow. The only thing they're committed to is their sinful lifestyle.
And many pastors of churches in 1960, they would tell Pastor Sonny these words, talking about leaders that didn't believe.
Wow.
Huh? And so this happened. And the third reason is that not only did his family didn't believe him, his leader said he couldn't do it, but his enemy mocked him. Even Goliath himself began to mock David. The enemy laughed and said, yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Goliath, he couldn't believe his eyes that a young, much smaller kid was accepting his challenge. It's like the enemy, whenever you first decide to go to church and you first decide to surrender your life to Christ, the devil starts to laugh at you. The devil starts to whisper in your ear like, what are you doing here this morning? Why are you in church? You were just drinking last night. You were just partying last night. And all of a sudden you want to come to church this morning. Quit. Don't be hypocritical. Don't play with God. He begins to whisper in your ear. You know you're going to go back to partying tonight. You know you're going to be back on drugs and on alcohol and on smoking weed. You know you're going to go back to your... You know you're going to start cussing again right after church. You know that, man, you know that you're not going to be able to pray and read your Bible. You know that you're going to go back on pornography. You know that you're going to go back and committing adultery and fornication, and the devil begins to lie and speak to our heads, and he begins to mock us.
Wow.
He mocks us and he says, you can't defeat me, you can't get out of my grip.
Wow.
Huh?
Real.
And these three things that come at us and they tell us there's no way you're going to win. Your family says you're not going to win. Your leaders probably say that you're not going to make it, and even the enemy is taunting you.
Wow.
See, this is the story of many Christians today. We're in a spiritual battle of our lives against the giants of this world of sin and flesh and the demonic forces that are around us constantly. And it seems like we are standing alone. Our families don't believe us or in us because of our past and our failures. And many times we have let them down. Our leaders sometimes lack confidence in us because of our inexperience. And we even hear the voice of Satan saying, what are you doing? And laughing at us and saying, you're never going to make it serving Christ. Listen, the odds are stacked against us. The odds are stacked against us. Pastor Ed Morales, my spiritual great-grandpapa, he wrote a book called Defying the Odds. Defying the odds. If there's anything that describes our ministry, is that book. Huh? Defying the odds. The odds were stacked against me. I shouldn't be here behind this pulpit. I shouldn't be your pastor. I should be right now back in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. I should be in a coffin 6 feet sleeping right now. I should be dead right now. All because the odds were stacked against me. They said, listen, you're going to get out of prison and you'll be back within a year. Oh, but my friend, I got out of prison in 2002 and I ain't gone back to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice because I went into the Victory Outreach Recovery Home for Men in 2002 and I graduated the program. I stood there for 1 year learning how to pray, learning to read my Bible, learning to submit myself under leadership, learning the Bible, learning to be discipled, learning to be a leader, and I'm still here standing 18 years later. Why? Because God's keeping power, because of the power of God, because I defied the odds through Jesus Christ. The odds are stacked against us. The odds are stacked against us as Christians. This world is set up for the Christian to fail. There's so much temptation. There's so much lust. There's so much pornography. There's so much out there, worldly music and infidelity and so many lies of Satan. So many lies of Satan through books and magazines and YouTube videos and Facebook posts.
Right.
There's so many lies out there. So many lies that the enemy bombards us with. And even the church begins to struggle. Even the disciples of Christ come in here and they say, Pastor, I read this. Pastor, I seen this. Is it true? I say, child, do not be deceived. Stick to God's word. Listen to God's word. Follow God's word. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because even Paul wrote in his letter, he says, even if an angel appears to you,
you and tells you something different, you do not believe that angel if it don't line up to the word of God.
And even today, there's so much things. There's the odds are stacked against us today for us to fail. Huh? But that's okay, because we serve a God that defies the odds. We're a people. We are a ministry that has defied the odds, my friend. For since 1967, for 50 years, we have been defying the odds. They told Pastor Sonny, you're not going to build a ministry with people like that. Oh, but look at us now, baby. We're international. We're worldwide. We got a victory outreach, not just in Mexico, but we got a victory outreach in South America, in Panama, in South Africa, in Europe. We got a victory outreach in many places of the world, and there's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of places that are crying out for the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, and for a men's home, and for a women's home, and for the vision of this ministry.
The odds are stacked against us like they were stacked against David and the young Mexican army. But we gave. But what gave young David and the young Mexican army the victory? What gave them the victory is the same thing that would give us the victory. I call them the three C's, and I want to give you these three C's this morning, and I'll be finished. The first C is the C of courage. Now, as I continue, in victory outreach, we call the three C's of victory outreach. But that's not the ones I'm going to give you here this morning. The three C's of victory outreach, if you want to know them, there's some of our principles and values. They're this. They're cause, community, and corporation. That's the three C's of our ministry. I'm going to talk about one of them here this morning. The cause, community, and corporation. We believe that we're a family community. And then we're also a business. Listen, we are a self-sustained church.
Right, right.
Huh? And it only happens by being organized.
Right, right.
Huh? We may look like we don't know what we're doing. Hello, somebody. And we may not know all the time what we're doing.
Right.
But we know how to be students. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yes. Yes.
We know how to be students.
Yes.
We know how to read, and we know how to educate us. I didn't even say it right. Huh? But we know how to read. Come on, somebody. And we know how to, we say we want to give God our best. Hello. And so we're going to educate ourselves. And we got to be better. And we got to be better administrators. We're going to be better administrators. And we got to be better preachers. We're going to be better preachers. If the men behind this pulpit need to learn to sharpen up their skills and doing pulpit work, then that's what they're going to do. And the piano player is going to get better. And the bass is going to get better. And the singers are going to get better. And the drummer is going to get better. And God's going to raise up a guitar player. Somebody's going to learn how to play the guitar. We ain't gotta go hire a guitar player. It's in house, baby. It's all right here. Our choir's in the house. Our saxophone player's in the house. Our violinist is in the house. Our cameraman is in the house. We may not know how to do it right now, but we're willing to learn because we're willing to give God our best.
So the first C I have here to give us the victory is courage. Somebody say courage.
Courage.
I like the word courage. Reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, the lion. Remember? If I only had a heart. Huh? Some people don't have no heart. They don't have no They don't have no courage. They're what you call spaghetti spine. Come on now. You know spaghetti spine? They're like, huh? It's like the children of Israel. The children of Israel, the army. They're all the giants. Huh? A young David had to come and say, man, you spaghetti spine people, man, you know what? You got to have courage. Did I say it right? Spaghetti spine? Spaghetti spine. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Spaghetti. That's how I say it. Amen. That's my Spanglish. I'm giving you another Cinco de Mayo illustration. I'm just kidding. Listen, courage. David was not the biggest dude. Huh? He wasn't like me. Come on, I'm a big dude. Amen. Right? He wasn't like me, buff. Why are you laughing? Huh? I've been going to the gym. Ooh, come on now. I said, my wife, you feel it, baby? I'm getting stronger. Then she goes, oh, I feel it, my rubber ducky.
She used to do that to me. David was not the biggest dude. He didn't have the latest weaponry. He wasn't even a soldier at the time of this battle.
Wow.
But he had what the other soldiers were lacking.
Wow.
Courage. Courage. Huh? Listen, Victory Outreach. We may not be all sharp in our speaking. We may not be all sharp in our looking. But don't let that hinder us from having courage. Don't let that hinder us from facing our giants. Don't let that hinder us. If we're gonna accomplish great things for God, if we're gonna accomplish big things for God, then we're gonna have to have courage, because no one has ever did anything great unless they had courage, my friend. And listen, if we want to do great things for God, and I don't know about you, but I want to follow in the footsteps of David, and I want to follow in the footsteps of my Savior Jesus. He did great things, and I believe that if they did it, then we can do it also. But we gotta have the courage. Nelson Mandela said this. He says, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not the one who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. But he who conquers that fear. To have courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Listen, you're going to be afraid. You might feel afraid inside, but the person of courage learns how to hold their mug. You hear me? That you feel afraid inside. Yes, those feelings of fear are inside, but you learn how not to show it. You know how not. You got to learn to put your game face in front of the devil. You don't think that David was afraid? There was probably a little bit of fear in David, but he didn't let Goliath see it. He didn't let Goliath see it. Next time a disease tries to hit you, the C word, I'm not going to say it because that's a cursed word, and I'm not talking the C word, right? That disease, huh? If you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report, because this is life. Life happens.
Yeah, right.
Huh? Life happens. You think it can't happen to us? I'm sorry, my friend. You're living in a fantasy land. Disease takes place. It can hit us. It can hit your family. It can hit your children. It can hit us. But if it hits, you learn to put your game face on. Huh? And if you get a bad report, huh? Let it be the last time I hear that word out of your mouth, doctor. Yes, I know what your report says. But I choose to believe in the report of the Lord. And my Bible tells me that by his stripes I am healed. My Bible tells me that under his wings there is healing. My Bible tells me that he is a God that healeth me. My Bible tells me that his will is for me to be in good health and to prosper. And you learn to keep your game face off. Even though you know what the report says, you say, man, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. And listen, the enemy will try to paralyze you with fear, and he'll try to get you into a pity party because you're facing this big giant. And all of a sudden, because you're in this pity party, oh, woe is me. Now I can't go to church. Oh, woe is me. Now I can't hit the streets. Oh, woe is me. Now I gotta drop out of ministry. Oh, woe is me. Now I can't tell nobody about Jesus. Oh, woe is me. Now I can't have no joy. The devil is a lie. He is a lie, my friend. You learn to face that problem with your mug on. You keep your game face on, and you have courage in your heart. And yes, there's going to be fear. Oh, but you learn to stand upon the word of God, and God's word will uphold you. And if you're faithful to the word will be faithful to you. And you only have to wait and see of the glory of God.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If the Lord took down the giant for David, he'll take down the giant for you. He'll take down the giant for you. The second C is cause. Somebody say cause. Now in this verse, in verse 29, David, he's not even a king yet. He says these powerful words in a question. He says, is there not a cause? See, I believe that David's courage came from his cause. It came from this cause
that he believed in, the cause of the kingdom of Christ. What is your cause here this morning? See, the bigger your cause, the more courage it will take. Some live for the cause of their own children, and that's a big cause. It's a noble cause. But a cause for all children is a bigger, larger, broader cause that will take more faith and tremendous courage. Listen, we have a great cause here in Victory Outreach. Amen. To reach the world for Jesus.
Amen.
To plant a church in every major city of the world. To reach the treasures out of darkness. Our cause is tremendous, and it's going to take a lot of courage to lay down your life and fulfill that cause.
Amen.
Our founders, our elders, our multi-regional and regional pastors, and our leaders have laid down their life for this cause. That's why we fight Victory Outreach. That's why we go into spiritual battle and warfare for this ministry to advance, because we have such a great cause.
Amen.
We have a great cause.
Right.
And I believe in this. I believe this. I believe if you have not found a cause to die for, you haven't found a cause to live. Because you haven't really started living until you find a cause worthy enough to die for. Get that. You haven't really started living until you've really found a cause to die for.
Wow.
Our vision is our cause.
Right.
The word of God says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Our vision is our cause. Our cause is to reach the treasures out of darkness. Before, I didn't have a cause. Before, when I wasn't saved, my cause every day was to get up and get high. Get loaded. Go to the bar. Go to the club. That was my cause, to party hardy. That was my cause. I was killing myself. So many people, they're depressed because they have no cause. They're depressed, they're down because they have no cause. They walk aimlessly every day, and no wonder they get caught up. Because they have no cause, my friend. But listen, when we got saved and we gave our life to Jesus, and we begin to hear the message of hope and the plan of Jesus Christ, and you heard the call of God, all of a sudden you begin to learn that God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." But you got to discover that plan. You got to listen. You got to pray and hear the voice of God and say, "God, what is your plan for my life? What is your cause for my life? I know it's not just for me to walk aimlessly in the land, but there's a purpose for my life." I discovered that purpose years ago. And every day I've gotten up to live for that cause. Every day I wake up to live for that cause that God has given me. And the cause is the same for every Christian: to make disciples of all nations, to empty out hell and to fill up heaven. That is our cause, because this world is only temporary. I don't care how big of a house you build, my friend. Listen, that house is going to be consumed by fire of the elements, my friend. On the last day when Jesus returns, everything in this world is going to be burnt hell somebody. And listen, he's going to make everything new. So while you're trying to build here on this earth, you got to remember, you got to build for eternity. Build for eternity. How do you build for eternity? It's by building people and reaching people for the honor and glory of God.
Right.
The third C is commitment. This is the last C. Commitment. Not only do you have to have courage, you got to have a cause, but you got to have commitment. See, commitment is to be dedicated and to be devoted to the cause. To be dedicated and to be devoted to the cause. David committed himself to the task at hand. He committed himself to the task at hand. The task at hand was the giant, and he committed himself to the battle. He slew the lion and the bear because he was committed to the sheep, and he was committed to his family's business. He was a sheep tender. Before he became king, before he even showed up on the battlefield, he took care of sheep. And when he took care of the sheep, he took his sheep job serious.
Right.
Huh? He took it serious. Why? Because he was committed to it. He was committed to it. Listen, he was not simply a hireling or a hired hand. In other words, someone who just did it for a paycheck. Someone who does it for just a payday won't lay his life down. He won't lay his life down for someone. He won't lay his life down. If you're just doing it for a paycheck, if he was just doing it for a paycheck, there's no way he would have laid his life down. Huh? But he was committed to the cause. He was committed to the cause. And because of that, he was deeply committed. And because of that, even though he looked at this giant, he says, man, this giant can kill me. This giant is big, and he can surely defeat me, and he can surely feed my carcass to the fowl of the air. It doesn't matter because I am committed, and I am willing to die for this cause. I am willing to die for the glory of God because this giant is defying. He's defying our God. He's talking about my God. He's talking about God's people. He's talking about the church. He's saying that we're weak. He's saying that we're pathetic. He's saying that God ain't got nothing. And listen, I'm not going to let that slide. I'm committed to see the honor and glory of God. I'm not just going to let anybody talk about my God. I'm just not going to let anybody talk about my church and my people. I am committed to this cause so much that I'm willing to go out and fight this battle. Whether I win or whether I lose, it don't matter. What matters is I show this uncircumcised Philistine that ain't nobody scared of him. Sometimes you got to face your giants. And your giants, sometimes it's going to seem like, yeah, maybe your giants may take you down. But at least you go down fighting. Huh? Come on, somebody. Huh? I remember getting into a lot of fights in the world. I faced some big dudes. Huh? I faced some big dudes, and I faced some little dudes. Sometimes I was the giant, and sometimes I was the David. Huh? But it didn't matter. The matter is that I stood up. Huh? I got to bring that same mentality to the things of God. Amen. Into the things of God. Sometimes, you know, we're scared of some of the things that the enemy throws our way. Or sometimes even the challenges that God brings our way. You know that this was a challenge that God brought his way? It wasn't a coincidence that his dad told him to take his brother lunch on this day. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a God incident. Right. It was a Holy Ghost setup. God had seen He had seen how all the other ones were chickening out. Huh? And God said, I'm going to send my servant David because I trained him with the lion and the bear. I seen how he was committed when he didn't allow the lion and the bear to steal the sheep. And if he was committed to those sheep that are just sheep and that are just not humans, how much more will he be committed to my sheep who are humans and who are my people? I believe that's why God chooses people like Victory Outreach. Amen. I believe that's why God chose a person like me. I was a gang member. I was a dummy. Huh? A foolio. Huh? You were too. Don't look at me like that. Some of you. We would. I mean, really? Who would? Come on, really? Who's gonna shoot up a place and go to do life in prison? Take a chance to do life in prison just because somebody called their friend a name.
Come on.
But you know what God sees? God sees the heart of that committed person. He says, man, if I could take that little young whippersnapper wet behind the ear gang member and just change his commitment, just change his radicalness, just change his craziness. If he can be crazy like that for the world, if I can just change that and teach him to be crazy like that for me.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. I got me a soldier. I got me a warrior. I got me somebody that can flip this world upside down and inside out and take this world for Jesus. Is there anybody like that here this morning that you can be committed to God for the glory of God to see God's name glorified in all the earth?
Yeah.
Victory Outreach International, we have come a far way. We have come a long way because of committed men and committed women that have been willing to put their lives and families on the line for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And for this vision. But we need to guard the spirit of commitment in our ministry. I feel a danger today because I feel like we can lose our spirit of commitment.
Wow.
You know, back in the days, men and women would make a big sacrifice and go to Mighty Men of Valor and go to Women's Convention, even if it meant losing their jobs back in the day. Hush mode. Today, people are scared to make that commitment. Where's your faith? Where's your commitment to the cause? We want to be down for the cause as long as it's convenient. Comfort has messed up our commitment. Back in the days, couples would drop everything they had, their homes, their jobs, their families, to go to a city or a country or a continent that they knew nothing of, but for the cause of Christ. To raise up the bloodstained banner of Christ and the banner of Victory Outreach International. They would drop everything with a drop of the bucket, and they would say, for the cause of Christ, because yes. I hear the cry, because there's yes. drug addicts there, there's gang members there, and yes, I love my family, yes. and yes, I know it's a sacrifice, not just for me and my wife, but for my children, but I'm down for the cause, because I'm committed to the cause, because I'm willing to lay my life down. That's what me and Sylvia have done. We have laid our life down. It hasn't been easy, but we came for you.
Yeah.
And there's so many out there that are waiting for you now to go to them.
Amen.
We can lose our commitment, Victory Outreach. We lose our commitment, and people will die, and they'll go to hell, and they'll burn for eternity because we don't want to go. Back in the days, we had youth that would be willing to be sent to the UTC in an instant. Today, it's like pulling teeth.
Right.
Back in the day, they didn't worry about college or their career because they were more concerned about their calling. The enemy has blinded us to eternity and the great need in the harvest field. If there is a miracle that is needed today most in the church, it is the miracle of sight to see the urgency of the need in our world for pastors and preachers and evangelists and missionaries to be sent out into the world. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to be take a people that's committed to the battle. It's going to take a people that's going to be committed to the vision. I'm getting into it here this morning. Because if we're not careful, in 10 years or in 20 years, Victory Outreach will be a whole different Victory Outreach. And we will have to change our name to just Victory. Because we're no longer going. Everybody wants to stay. Everybody wants to stay. Huh? And you say, well, I'm single, Pastor. You got to send married couples. Wait for the right one.
Amen.
I don't care if it takes 5 years, 10 years. Wait for the right one. Because if you go with the wrong one, you're just going to come back. And yes, we'll welcome you back with arms wide open. But we need success. Me and my wife, we've been here for 8 years. We have not gone back. We're not going back. We're going to stay faithful to our corner. We're going to be committed.
Right. Come on, Pastor.
And we're not like any other church. We're not the church down the street. We're not the mega. We're not the Potter's House. We're not hype. We're none of that. We're Victory Outreach.
Amen.
We got a Goliath to take down. And that's the Goliath of the inner cities of the world.
Right.
Huh? Amen. And not everybody's going to go. But you still got to be committed.
Right.
Not everybody's going to go, but you still got to be committed to say, okay, we may not go out, but we're going to do everything in our power to build here locally so we can build a base, so we can be a launching pad, so that when men and women do go out, we can send them with finances and say, go out there and hit the streets and make flyers and rent a home and rent a building. And here we are, your mother church. We're here to give birth.
Yes. Come on.
It's going to take committed tithers.
Yes.
Committed people that fulfill their pledge.
Amen.
Committed people that get to United We Can, because we're not in this by ourselves.
Amen.
It's not Big Charge Grand Perry by itself.
We give to world missions. Why? Because we believe that our founders and our elders are launching out missionaries. They may not come from us right now, but later on in a few years, we will send out missionaries. They may be your children. They may be your cousin. They may be your friend. But it's going to take a commitment. We got to be committed to this fight. We got to be committed. Because if not, listen, we can be committed to all kinds of other things. And I close with this. The piano player can come up. Listen. Those three C's, courage, cause, and commitment. You can have those three things for the wrong reason. You can be courageous and committed to the wrong cause. Ask Goliath. The Philistine, he was courageous and committed for the wrong cause. Ask the Nazis and Hitler. He was courageous and committed for the wrong cause.
Right.
It reminds me of Joshua 24, verse 15. We have a choice to make here today. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua says, if serving the Lord seems evil to you, choose you this day who you will serve, either the gods on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live in today. And then Joshua says these powerful words. He says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be committed to God. Even though God may take us into a battle, God might may thrust us into a battle. If God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. And God brought David to this battle, knowing full well he was going to get him through it. But it was God that brought him to it. God brought you to this ministry. God brought you to Victory Outreach. And he fully understood the commitment that we have and the commitment that we preach. If God brought you to it, he'll get you through it. Pastor Jesse used to tell us this. He used to tell us, you know, people leave my church all the time. And he says, you know what I tell them? I say, you know, because they come up to me, they tell me sometimes. And he says, and then they tell me, Pastor, you know, we decided to move on. And he says, you know what I would tell them? I would tell them this. He would tell all the churches. He says, you know, if you're going to leave my church to go to another church, make sure that you leave my church to go to a more committed church. Because you got to take a step up. Don't take a step down. So many people, they leave to take a step down. And he used to tell them, listen, if you're going to leave my church, or go to, I hope you go to a better church that is more committed.
Come on.
That hits the streets more. That challenges the people to give more. Take a step up. Don't take a step down. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? I said, man, that's so true. That's so true. Some people leave because they want to take a step down. Man, it's too much commitment. It's too much commitment. I'm going to go over here where I can hide in the crowd. I'm going to go over here with the leader when I get in my Kool-Aid. I'm going over here with the pastor. Don't yell at us. He don't yell at us. Like Pastor Francisco, yell at us. I see his spit coming out. He's mad right before going to Mighty Men of Valor. No, I'm not mad. I'm trying to raise up mighty men of valor. I'm trying to raise up some giant slayers. I'm trying to raise up some people that are going to get out of the bullpen and into the batting pen. Huh? I'm trying to raise up some people that are going to get off the bleachers and onto the court. Huh? Off of the sidelines and into the game. So many times we want to look on the sidelines. I'll be the cheerleader, eh? Go, Pastor. Go, go, Josh. Go, yeah, pom poms. What about you? You go for a touchdown. Yeah, you might get hit, but you might make a touchdown. Come on, somebody. I heard this and I never forget it. Nothing hurts when you're winning. Nothing hurts when you're winning, baby. Huh? And God has a calling. And remember, yeah, listen, some are going to stay. If you're going to stay, back us up.
You may not be able to go to women's convention, but you can sponsor somebody to go to women's convention. You may not be able to go to Mighty Men, but sponsor somebody to go to Mighty Men. That there says, man, there's a spirit inside of you to say, man, I gotta give it all. And yes, it's a sacrifice, and yes, it is a risk. It is a risk to David. It was a risk. But in order to win an unlikely victory, you gotta learn how to take risks. You gotta learn how to take risks, Victory Outreach. Me and my wife took a risk coming out here. We take a risk every time we do something, but we took a risk being in the parade yesterday. We didn't know if they're gonna laugh at us or cheer at us. Come on, somebody. But we take a risk. We take a risk every time we step out of faith. We take a risk, we take a pledge. We take a risk every time we come up here and pick up an offering. I take a risk every time I come up here and preach like this. And preach, I take a risk. Oh, am I gonna hurt somebody's feelings? It's a risk. But you know what? Behind it all, I know that there's some giant slayers in this place. There's a room of giant slayers. And your giant may not be like my giant or like anybody else. Your giant is your giant. But nevertheless, you're going to have these three C's. You're going to have a courage. You're going to have a cause on why you do it. You're in a ministry. You got to have a cause on why you're in that ministry. You're going to have the courage to be able to build that ministry. And you're going to have to be committed to see it come to pass. In your life, in serving God, that's what you're going to have. Why are you serving God? Why are you here at church? There has to be a cause.
All right.
Is it your family? That's great, and it's a noble cause. And stick to that. Because if you won't do it for anything else, do it for your children. Do it for your marriage. Do it for you. That's a good cause. That's a good cause. Don't get mad. No, listen. I'm speaking. I got to speak to everybody. There's some that are going to stay. There's some that are going to go. And I need to pump up those that are going to go to say, don't be afraid to go. And if you don't fit in, that's okay, then that's not for you. Eat the watermelon, spit out the seed. But don't get hurt behind the message. Just know that we got to raise up a committed people so that when they do go out, they make it. And they know how to build a solid church. Not a church by tickling people's ears. Some people don't even want to preach on sin. But not here at Victory Outreach. We're more concerned about your soul. And we're more concerned how you're going to face and you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to ask you, well, what did you do while you're on this earth? And I'm glad that my church is going to be able to say, man, we built a children's ministry. We built a worship ministry. We sold. We did dramas. We launched out churches. I didn't go, but I gave. Man, I did this. I did that. Man, I preach. I did that. I taught the children. And listen, I didn't become a preacher, but the children that I taught, they grew up and they became a preacher and they became an evangelist and they became a missionary. But we got a church. We got people that don't even want to go into the children's ministry. There has to be a cause. We got to rise up to the occasion. We got to do this thing. We got to do this thing. Because God has given us the victory. He's given us the victory. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. A victory that God wants to give you. A victory. Victory. David went into the battle fully understanding what he needed. He needed that courage. He knew he was going in there with a cause. And he says, I'm going to be committed. Doesn't matter how the ending happens, I'm going to be committed to the end. And we have to have that same spirit. And you know, when we have that same spirit, those elements, it doesn't matter what we're wearing. It doesn't matter how much money we got. It doesn't matter how smart we are. That doesn't mean nothing. Because God is with us. It's like Brother Irvin preached. He's already in California. It's what Brother Irvin preached on Friday night. Listen to God. Trust God. Spring into action. You got to spring into action. Spring into action. What is God calling you to do? He's calling you to be more committed. Be more committed. He's calling you to stay committed. Stay committed. Stay committed. Some of you might be new here this morning. This is your first time. There's a cause for you. There is a cause. And the cause is that God wants you to give Him glory. The cause is your family, your children, your marriage, your life. There's a good cause for you. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take commitment at your level where you're at. I came in just like you. I didn't know nothing about God, nothing about church. But I came and I said, man, I learned I need to be committed to God. If this is going to work, I'm going to have to be committed to God. That means I'm going to have to be here every Sunday. That means I'm going to have to go. That means I'm going to have to start reading my Bible. That means I'm going to have to change some areas in my life. And so I got to be committed to it. I got to be committed to it. But you know what? God has given me the victory. All these years, God has been giving me the victory. I never would have thought I'd be doing what I'm doing here today. It was all just a dream. I was in prison. I would dream of preaching. But I should not be doing what I'm doing today. But God gave me the victory. Today, God wants to give you the victory in your marriage, in your family, maybe in your sickness. You might be sick in body. God wants to give you the victory over that sickness.
Yes.
Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are the touch of man. You are, God, our great physician. Your word is powerful. It's cut my life, God. I'm convicted, Jesus. Sometimes I get too comfortable, God. I don't want to be comfortable, God. I want to hit the streets more. I want to do more ministry to see more people saved. I want to apply myself more in my preaching and teaching. God, I want to do more for you, God. I'm grateful because you've saved my family, my children. I got a great marriage. I just don't want to get caught up in being comfortable with just us four and no more. God, I want more. God, I know there's so many more souls that are out there, Jesus. That God, I don't want to launch out churches, God. I want to launch out churches and ministries, God, and start more rehab homes. We need a women's home, God. We need a women's home, God. There's women, God, out there, God, being trafficked, selling their bodies, God. There's women out there addicted, Jesus. And they're crying for an answer. Lord, and they call us, God, and we got to refer them to Dallas. Lord, you called them, God, to call us. Lord, God, I pray we need more leaders, Jesus. We need more leaders to do more things. I thank you for the leaders you've given us. You've given us committed leaders in the children's ministry, in the worship, in the men's home, God, in the Bible studies, God, in the worship. In the church, you've given us good leaders. God, begin to give us more. Give us more. This morning, if you're going to Mighty Men of Valor, I want to pray for you. All the men that are going to Mighty Men of Valor, we want to say a prayer for you. I want you to come and stand at the altar because we want to pray for God's traveling mercies. We want to pray for that your heart will be open. Your heart will be open. Brother Irvin already took off. He already took off. He flew out this morning. Listen. By no means do I mean to bash you. If you didn't go to Mighty Men or Women's Convention, I'm not. By no means. By no means. Please don't think that. But by every means, yes, it is very important. And it is very serious. Because the vision hangs on the line, the cause. And men, I pray that you go with an open heart to know that, listen, it's not a vacation. Some of you are going to hear the call of God. You're going to hear the call to preach. You're going to hear the call to take a city. You're going to hear the call to be a leader, to graduate the home, to be a pillar. You got to take that call serious. You got to stay focused and have a ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. I want you to lift your hands. Church, stretch your hands. Help me pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go to the mountaintop, myself included, God, let our ear be open to hear your voice. God, Lord, so that we could hear and apply and come back and put the word to action. Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, you would speak to every single man that is going, God. Lord, I pray, God, that they would not come back the same. Lord, that you would internalize the vision in their life. That they would see, God, the vision in action. That they would see their brothers from South Africa and their brothers from Panama and their brothers from all over the United States and Mexico and Ireland and Europe. And they would be amazed at the vision, God, your vision. And that they would also see the need. That, Lord, that they're still hurting people all over the world. In Australia and Hawaii. And I pray, God, that, Lord, some of them will catch, that you'll give them that call, Lord, to be that man of God, to take that city one day. God, because if you did it for me, God, I know you'll do it for them, Jesus. God, and I pray, God, that you would burn the vision deep in their hearts. They would come back willing to lay their life down. I thank you, Father, for their sacrifice. And I pray that you would protect them and meet their every single need according to your riches and glory. I know it is a big step of faith for them, a sacrifice, God. But I pray, Father, that that investment would produce a harvest. Lord, let them not come back the same. And raise up more. Let them come back to pour themselves in to their disciples. Let them come back with a fire for the streets, a fire for discipleship. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Worship team, sing something special here this morning.